Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
There's a lot of discussions about attracting new medical lab professionals to the field. Well, what can we do to keep the ones we already have? So in today's episode of Elaborate Topics podcast, we are going to discuss the effects of not focusing on our current team members. Welcome to Elaborate Topics podcast. Elaborate Topic podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-host, Tywana Wilson, Stephanie Whitehead, and our guests bring you topics to help you to excel in your laboratory journey. And today I will be your host. And for those who don't know, I am Lona Small. I'm a quality assurance specialist in the core lab at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. I'm a positive intelligence and lab operational excellence coach at Lab OPEX Training and Consulting, where I coach medical lab professionals to find solutions to their career, leadership, and team challenges so they feel fulfilled and operate at their best without the overwhelm. And I'm so excited about today's episode. So why should we really focus on the team we already have? So in today's episode, we'll talk about the toll that this could have on our labs if we do not focus on our current team. So recently, I've had several medical lab professionals reach out to me about the effects of the work environment on their mental health. And some of these requests were not just for individual help, but for help for their entire team that were experiencing burnout and what some referred to as having that toxic workplace. And I've heard from others who went out to seek professional help for themselves. And I've heard from some who are actually just using their own coping methods to keep going. But overall, it's not a pretty environment right now in the workplace. And a few months ago, I formed my first group of six-week mental fitness foundation program. And it's made up of lab managers and executives. And one of the executives said that this came at such an opportune time when she needed it. She needed it for herself. It was not so much about what was going on with her team, but she needed help for herself. So I realized that not only the team members are under stress at this time, but lab leaders and executives are also under stress. So the question is, do you know what your team is going through now just to keep your lab going? How much are you really focusing on the team that you have now? And I know many years ago, and even today in some work cultures, leaders did not see the well-being of their team as the organization's responsibility. They saw that as the team's responsibility. They saw it as the team, that's your personal life, you go take care of it. And that, I hope, has changed because the well-being of the team is important to the outcomes of some of the things that you want to see for your labs. So many team members are feeling really the effect of the changing environment on their mental health, with reduced staffing and all the other things that's going on. It's really affecting their mental health. And many team members are choosing mental health or wellness over work. So this becomes a cycle of short staff, training without proper resources. And then there's the overwhelm. And then there's the short staff again. And then this all happened over and over again. So as I say in this episode, I'm going to talk about the cost of not focusing on your team that we already have and what that can do to your team. And then how can you actually make a difference in changing that, turning that around? So we're going to start with some of what is this really costing the organization not to focus on your current team. And the first cost I bring up, and I think most people will know that, especially now with what's going on in this acute situation, the first cost I'll talk about is the financial cost. And I think about, let me have you think about how many postings have you actually put out in the last quarter? How many positions have you replaced? For every position you replace, it's costing your organization 3 times the salary of the person you replace. And then it could go up because now we're doing a lot of international hires. So you're looking at the recruitment costs, you're looking at the time for training, you're looking at the holes that have to be covered during training. And I know many times the trainer is trying to train plus cover their area, but there are also holes that are already there that needs to be covered. So you have to think about the cost for that. Is it overtime? You know, what is it? Is it just more stress on your team? But for that time that it takes to fully train and onboard that new person, that's the cost. And it's usually 3 times the cost to replace someone. That's the financial cost. But there are other costs. There are costs like decreased productivity. So without the reduced resources, or should I say, just having those reduced resources going to reduce productivity. Sometimes you have to reduce your test menu, reduce the offerings on your test menu, send things out to other labs or reference lab. Now that's also increasing costs, and it's also increasing the turnaround times for the providers. So you're increasing turnaround times because of send out, and you're increasing turnaround times just generally in the lab. So let's look at increased turnaround time as another cost. So increased turnaround times for stats and timed labs and routine work. So you have with that, because of the delays, then you have additional stress of incoming calls, increased incoming calls and inquiries, increased stress on the team, more complaints from providers, and then you end up with reduced lab reputation. So when you think about it, it's a lot of costs. Then when you think about another thing that we may ignore is just our regular maintenance and keeping up of our lab. And when I think of maintenance, I'm not talking about maintenance for analyzers. Hopefully we don't get there. That's so important. That's vital. I'm talking about things that we may put as less maybe down in our priority. However, those are important stuff, like lab cleanups. With not being able to do that, then of course that's affecting the look and the feel of the lab. And that's affecting the look and the feel of your team. When your team walk into clutter and papers on the wall, of course that's affecting mental health and well-being. Then another thing that is costing you is increased work conflicts with overwork, with stressful environment, with lack of support. That easily creates conflicts and misunderstanding in the workplace. So there are more chances of conflicts with limited resources. And if those conflict goes unattended, those usually lead to what many refer to as toxic work culture. So I get a call about toxic work culture. And then there's the cost that comes with burnout, where team members, not only, like I said, you have team leaders, you have executives, team members that are burnout. So now there's more call outs. Now people can't give 100% because of burnout. Then you have decreased productivity again due to burnout, and not just, you know, just because the people who are there can't give that 100%. Then you'd have other people trying to cover the one that's not giving 100%. So then that leads to even more burnout when someone think that they can stretch themselves to help in other areas. Then, you know, it's a cycle. Increase errors. Then you have to find time to investigate these errors, and there's rework. That becomes a cycle of more burnout. Then another cost is reduced staff engagement. So you end up with team dissatisfaction, team feeling neglected. There's this feeling of disconnect between what the team feel as if they're contributing to the overall goal. So a lot of us come to work because we want to contribute to a bigger goal. And when it becomes crisis mode, where people are just going through the motion, then there's this disconnect with, what am I doing? Am I just trying to patch things or helping here and helping there and training? And I'm not feeling as if I'm contributing to a bigger picture. So now you have people losing their first love for the profession. They're disengaged, and that disengagement could lead to many issues, many of those issues that we mentioned above: the burnout, the conflict, the reduced productivity, not wanting to be asked to train continuously and still get your work done. And then there's this feeling that leadership is not doing enough. So under reduced disengagement or reduced staff engagement, there's all these things that happen: the dissatisfaction, feeling of neglect, disconnect with your contribution, losing your first love. All of this is happening. And then people can start getting sick. And then that's where you may have many that may exit. And then there's this continuous vicious cycle of recruitment, training, and then exit. So many leaders try to cope with this. And so they do that by saying, trying to have open communication with their team to let them know that help is coming. We're actively hiring. You will get more support. But unfortunately, team members have been hearing that for so long. And so what they do, they actually keep watching that revolving door. They're not hearing that message. Basically, that message is saying more people is coming, mean never-ending training, more overwhelm, and the cycle continues. And, you know, I know a lot of leaders try so hard, and then when you have a team member saying, I don't feel supported, leaders are not doing enough, sometimes becomes disheartening. But many times it's really, what is it that the team member is feeling? So what could be that new approach? That new approach would be get out of crisis mode. Get out of crisis mode and start seeing this as a new norm. So focus and connect with the team we already have, and not just sending out those emails to let them know you're trying your best. Find out how each team member is really doing. And when I went on the night shift and I started talking to people, and I started hearing things that leadership is not doing enough, then I realized that although leadership is trying their best with all these programs, there's all these initiatives to go out and recruit, to go to high school, to be creative, to be communicating with the team and tell them, you know, what we're doing. They want to know, how are you supporting me? And, you know, that's what I hear. Leadership is not doing enough. And so find out from your team member how they're really doing. What would they love to be doing at work? And what would make them feel fulfilled at work? And involve your organization wellness team to support your team. Involve your HR team. At my organization, there is a group called RISE, Resilience in Stressful Stressful Event. They were actually formed as peer support. People can go and train to be able to do this. And initially, many years ago when they were formed to support caregivers as second victims, caregivers who find themselves in a situation where they may have been an error, where a patient was harmed, and then they themselves are going through that trauma. And so this was formed to support what we call second victims. But with time, their roles start evolving. During COVID, when so many caregivers were going through stressful situations, they were there to support them. And they also started partnering with the wellness programs to provide ongoing support to the team. And I know not all labs are big organizations. Some are small. Some may not have resources. So try to be creative, but make it a priority to support the team you already have. And reach out to others. You can reach out to me. My goal is to ensure that lab and lab leaders can be fulfilled in their roles without the overwhelm by practicing mental fitness. Also, get ideas from your team for solution. With all the changes that's happening, they have ideas. Look at some performance indicators and see if you can adjust them to have more realistic targets based on or current staffing reality. And I know for us, we had a wake-up call because we did a lean project where we were trying to reduce turnaround time for CBC oncology specimen. And after we made a lot of changes, we realized that the target that we had was unrealistic. That target has been in place for maybe over 20 years, and things were different. We had a smaller oncology patient population, maybe about two or three floors and a few clinics. We had a lab that was just focused on doing oncology specimen, was a specialized lab on the same oncology floor. So as soon as those specimens came in, the results came out just for oncology patients. Over the years, they have built big buildings, a major increase in oncology population. They have actually consolidated that specialized oncology lab as part of the core lab. So things has changed, and the volume has changed, the patient acuity has changed, and so many things has changed. So we had to rethink the target that we have. So involve your team and, you know, just look at some of the goals that you have if it's realistic to your current staffing reality. You may have to adjust or consolidate benches that may be high volume benches with low volume benches, consolidate so you get support from team members that may not have so much going on their plate. But as I say, get those ideas from your team members and they will feel more engaged. The bottom line is if we can't create that environment to make our current team happy and keep them, we will continuously be on that hamster wheel for a long time. And our team is our greatest asset. Your team is your greatest asset. So you heard a lot. And you may be asking yourself, what now? And I usually try to help you with like, okay, what's the first thing that I can do after listening to this podcast? And the first thing that I would ask you to do is ask the question, am I in a crisis mode of just hiring and not focusing on the changes and the challenges that has been created over the past years due to limited staffing, which is actually affecting the team we currently have? Am I just in that crisis mode of just hiring? And you find if you say yes, am I still in that crisis mode of just hiring, then pivot. Pivot to now focusing on the team that you have, or else you continue to be on that crisis mode of just hiring and that hamster wheel. Okay, so that's the first thing that I'll ask before you start looking at ways to mitigate, some of the ways that I suggest to mitigate. So this was a pleasure sharing with you. I know this is a very important topic. And if you want to, you can go back and listen again if there are certain things that you missed. But you can listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. And Elaborate Topics Podcast is on any of your favorite podcast platform. And you can also register on LabVine on labvinelearning.com for free, and you'll get access to our podcast and other resources. And you can also join Elaborate Topics on Facebook and on LinkedIn. So we have groups on LinkedIn and on Facebook. And you can email us at elaboratetopicspodcast@directimpactbroadcasting.com. With any questions, any suggestion for topics you would love to listen to, you can also submit a request to be a guest on the show by going into directimpactbroadcasting.com. And you can send me a message on LinkedIn at Lona Gordon Small. And if you want to learn more about how you can use mental fitness to create an ideal work environment for your team, for your leaders, and increase peace of mind, wellness, productivity, and improve relationships with your team, let me know. So thank you so much for listening to Elaborate Topics, and you can always look out every Tuesday for a new episode. So have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.